I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that have changed lives forever. Hello, my friends. I'm Matt Gilhooly, and I am the host of The Life Shift podcast. And this week was the 100th episode that I've had the opportunity of conducting with amazing guests and people that I could never have imagined meeting when I started this journey. If you don't know, this journey started as a school assignment, and here we are over 100 episodes now officially. And over the last 100 episodes, every once in a while, I will put together a recap episode in which I take the final question that I ask each guest, which typically is the same, and I took all those clips and I put them together in little pieces and little episodes for everyone to listen to because I find them really inspiring. And I've realized that we just have a lot more in common than we do have differences. And so it's really nice to listen to these recap episodes. And so for this one, since we're at 100, I wanted to share a clip of the final response from each of the 100 episodes, including my own, in which I did an episode where I told my story and it really gives you the reason for the Life Shift podcast. And so I've included that in there. So if you've heard the other ones, you're probably going to hear some similar things, but I put them all together as one full episode. And I wanted to share that with you, hoping that hearing all these different voices saying similar things or saying similar feelings to maybe something that you're feeling at the time, I hope that you feel a little less alone in your circumstance or you feel inspired to move through whatever you're facing right now. And so I hope you enjoy this episode. Before I get into that, I just wanted to also say that I am celebrating that I hit a milestone in the Patreon. So if you're interested in directly supporting the show, please head to patreon.com/thelifeshiftpodcast. And you can see all sorts of tiers and t-shirt giveaways and different things that we offer there. And I'm going to try to build up that community more in 2024. So thank you for any of that support. If you can't directly support the show, just keep listening and share episodes that you think would resonate with other people. With them, and I would be so ever thankful. So thank you for that. And without further ado, I want to share the recap episode of all of the first 100 episodes of the Life Shift podcast, in which my guests respond to the question, what would you say if you could go back to that person right before that Life Shift moment?
I'd tell her, honestly, to be even bolder. Which is strange to say, hearing the stories I told you during this one, is be even bolder. Go as far as you think, because those putting yourself out there is the learning. If I didn't go give, you know, some big speech and, you know, bomb, if I hadn't gotten arrested, if I didn't take some of these big risks, I don't know that I would have learned as fast as I learned or learned what I learned. So it's funny now. I almost want to give this Nisha that advice too. Go ahead and be bolder.
What really helped me was to know that I wasn't alone, that these feelings and questions are totally normal, and to keep going, just to keep going, keep asking questions, keep digging, and do not be afraid of where you end up, because you'll end up exactly where you need to be. You just got to keep going. And hopefully you have some people in your life that are cheering you on, because that's the last thing I would have wanted, is if I were to say, you know what, I'm really questioning things. I'm really having a hard time. Like, I need to understand. And someone be like, oh, Tim, you shouldn't do that. Don't go down that road, because if you do. So I was very fortunate to not have people like that in my life.
If I could speak to my younger self, I would encourage him to feel comfortable being who he truly is. But I would still encourage him to come to terms with that when he feels most comfortable. I do wish it happened earlier, but I'm also not someone who likes to reflect on the past. And I really do not like to regret. I like to just live in the moment and look forward. But I just wish sometimes that it happened a little bit earlier. And I wish there weren't so many moments in my life that I just felt so broken down and empty, but that also encourages me to just live life so much better now and not be apologetic about who I am, which I'm absolutely not.
What a fantastic question, first of all. I think at that time in my life, every major decision that carried risk felt like life or death. It was like, if this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Like that, right. That it felt so, I think because the stakes felt so much higher back then, because I still felt as though I needed to prove myself to myself and number two, to everyone in my life, like friends, right. Family, et cetera, peers. And I think probably what I would reach back through time and put my hand on the shoulder of Justin from 30 seconds before the auction listed, it would be that if you look at the entire trajectory of the next 20 years of your life, this is going to be a super, super minor blip.
The one thing that I would say to her, this is going to sound very weird, but you're really pulling things from me that I never even thought. What I would tell her is that she was incredibly brave. Look, what I am today is because that girl was brave. I would not be here if that night, you know, she would have not acted like she did, and nothing of what I eventually had and built in my life would be here. She was extremely brave, and I would probably write her a letter to tell her how much I love her, and that she always knew what she was doing.
Knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would say to her about this upcoming journey that she was about to go on?
I'd say thank you, because I think that her ability to help me open my heart with the signs, with the dreams, with all the bizarro circumstances that were happening have led me to a really beautiful journey today.
These things are not who you are. They are not the measure of the person you are. They are things that happen to you. And you are so much bigger than them. And like, hold on in there, because one day maybe you can help people that go through the same situation. Maybe you can even prevent it. Like, just hold on. Life's beautiful. Like, stay here, stick it out. It'll get better.
There's so much that I would want to say to him, but what I want to say to him more than anything is to be yourself. And the reason that I will say be yourself is because the reason why society is the way that it is because you have everyone engaging in performative behavior only because they want to be perceived a certain way. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do in society is for the applause, the acknowledgement, and acceptance of someone else. But if we be ourselves, be who we truly are inside, if we know who we truly are inside and we just be that person, we wouldn't be so inclined to doing things that are detrimental to our well-being or the well-being of our family, society, community, whatever.
That's a great question. I've been asked this question before in all the therapy that I've done. And it's the things that I say. It's, you know, everything's going to be okay. And like, trust your gut. Like, if anything, I've really, like, the Nicole now, like, I like, feel internally, like I felt things before. Like, I feel like women in general always have great intuition, but lots of people have great intuition, but I ignored it. Where now, like, I was in a meeting the other day and I just had this feeling of like, you know, I just don't feel really good about this. And like, I don't ignore it. Yeah. I really, you know, like everything's going to be okay. Things happen for a reason, and trust your gut. Yeah. Like, you know, my gut was telling me when I made that 911 phone call, not to hang up, but I'm like, oh, I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And I hung up. And so really trusting your intuition.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would tell her and him that you can be okay. That this too can be okay. That this life can be all right no matter what. Because it felt like it had ended. And it's funny, I've heard you ask people that question, you know, on your podcast. And I thought, oh, he's going to ask me that. And then today I heard it and I could not remember a thing that I thought of. So it just really came to me now that you are okay. I really, truly, badly wanted someone to tell me that it's all going to be all right. And no one could and no one can. But I could have. So I would go back and say that.
I would say, don't be so hard on yourself. I'd be sweet, baby.
You're taking on too much.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
There's this quote that I put everywhere. And this is pretty much how I end all podcasts at this point now. But it's so profound to me. You know, it's on my LinkedIn banner. It's on my email signature. It's everywhere. And it's just the fact that just do good for yourself and your community. And you'll die a great person.
I would say to that younger Jackie, you can do this. You're going to be fine. You're going to figure it out on your own. Yeah.
Do you think she would listen?
Probably not. Yeah. She would probably look for that checklist.
That's a really good question. I would love to be able to put some thought into answering that.
Well, too bad. No, I'm
You have no time. Yeah, I would say, really, it's kind of the coaching program that I developed, and it's called Gen Path. And so the first step is gathering. It's gathering information, insight, perspective about your community, about your situation, about yourself. I would maybe say, be intentional. The I is for intentions. Intentionality is really, really important. And take care of yourself, nurture yourself and take that time.
I would say, listen to your gut. I think for the longest time, I had dreams and hopes and intuition, as we all do, that I stuffed down. And ignored. And when you start, like you said, to lean in, to really listen to yourself and be honest with yourself. I think for so long, I was never honest with myself. And you have to be.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would tell her.
Listen to your gut.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would encourage him, say, look, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to turn out just fine. You have to just have the patience and the compassion with yourself to know that there's another world waiting for you on the other side of this. And I think part of me has this sense of I wish I had someone like me at that point. I don't think I had enough of that, the support, or even actively sought it out at the time. To have that helping hand of someone to kind of say, hey, I'm here to help.
You know, that quote by Teddy Roosevelt, Man in the Arena, that you're going to go through really hard times. And that man in the arena is going to have blood and sweat and tears and dust in your face. But all of the naysayers are not in the arena with you. So don't listen to the naysayers, because a lot of times people give up because people tell them, you can't do that. Oh, that's stupid. It's not going to work.
I think I would tell her, just put one foot in front of the other and do your best every day, because life has a lot in store for you. Don't give up on yourself yet. I'm just so grateful that it passed for me. And it breaks my heart, really, to think about people who struggle with depression on a regular basis and not just kind of like a, existential crisis kind of way, where it's like once in a lifetime, you know, you have this big meltdown. People who feel that way and feel so powerless. For me, I would have not gotten through that without some self-awareness, but also without somebody on the outside of my mind saying it's not as bad as it seems, like every day is a new day, and helping me put together a plan. Yeah, I don't even know what I could tell that person, to be honest, because I'm just so much different today than I was then.
It's interesting to look back, right? You're like, that was me, but also like, I can't believe that was me.
I would probably say to her, quit doubting yourself. Because that's for sure, you know, and that's a lot of people.
Second-guessing things.
Yeah, being like, I knew that I had the ability. You know, I knew that I did deep inside, you know, deep inside, I think I knew I had the ability. You know, but the self-doubt and was always just like, you know, yeah, but like, are you really able? Are you able to really follow through too? That self-doubt can keep you from even putting yourself out there.
That it will be a minute by minute, breath by breath journey, and to give yourself the grace to be exactly where you are right now, knowing that it won't always be what it is right now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean healing or a grief journey is linear. You know, there are days that feel like day one still. They don't last as long. They aren't as triggering. They aren't necessarily as debilitating. But I think truly learning how to be in your body and honor wherever you are emotionally in that moment is what I would try to whisper into her ear.
I think she would listen. I just, you know, in the little bit I know about you, I feel like I know a lot about you now, but in this short amount of time, I feel like that version of you would listen and understand that this one moment is what matters right now. And the next moment will be the one that matters next. And I think that's an important thing to say.
The biggest thing I've learned, I said, it's okay to not be okay. Be vulnerable. It's a muscle. I was terrible at it to start when I started therapy. Would never talk about things with my friends. I think that was a big part of keeping up, maintaining that image that everything was okay. If I talk about it, it's a sign that things aren't okay. So be vulnerable, train that muscle. It's like bench pressing. You know, the only way you can continue to be more vulnerable and be more comfortable with it is by doing it. And it's, yeah, very uncomfortable, but you actually grow stronger relationships and people trust you more and better understand you. I like to say a lot, there is no scale, which relates to what I was talking about, how oftentimes people's mental health can relate to someone else's mental health. Something can impact me in one way that another event can impact someone else in the same way. And so when my parents passed away, oftentimes people would say, I can't imagine what you're going through. And I just try to say, sometimes you can imagine what I'm going through, you know? Sometimes your depression can impact you more than something can impact me.
Oh, man, it gets better. You can forge a new path and make it just as enjoyable, and you will. There's pros and cons to everything. And if you pick out the pros and try and if you try and pick out the pros and cons of everything, you can't, like, and this is part of my anxiety. It's like, I joke around at work all the time and I say my anxiety is my superpower because I'm thinking about the pros and cons of every single thing before I press publish. 2012, 2013, 2014, Dan, like this, you're looking at things from a certain lens. Change your perspective. Don't look at it through tunnel vision. Look at it from a full lens that you can see everything. And I think that's the big thing I would say is just look at it from every perspective. Don't just look at it from the one that you want to live.
Stop hiding. Don't hide.
Would you have listened?
Probably not.
You'd be like, hide what? I'm not hiding anything.
Not exactly. Stupid old woman. What's she talking about?
You know, I ask this question and most people are like, you know, there's nothing really that person would have listened to. We had to go through these moments. Yeah. We had to hit these walls. We had to face these particular circumstances. And here we are, you know, and isn't that the beauty of life, I think?
I think so. I agree with you.
Wow, in the moment of not knowing. I think the main lesson here is no matter what happens, you can be okay. It'll take work. It'll take effort. It'll, you don't know what, you know, where you're going to be pulled or what road you'll go down, but you'll be okay. And I don't know that I would have believed that, you know, 1 week in, but 2 years in, I believe that.
Yes, I think I would go back to that girl and put my arm around her. But I also think if I had said to that girl, Olivia, you're going to get divorced, move back home with your kids and start a company that's going to change the world, I would be like, that tracks. Sure. So I do think that there's an element of me that always kind of felt this was a journey and I still am on this journey. And I think that that's where a lot of the confusion was. It was like I was waking up every day thinking like, this is not the life that I thought I was going to have.
You know, so even after I had that aha and like it was pretty traumatic and I had to process it and I journaled about it and I just kind of sat with it for several days while on mental health leave. And then eventually I remember I was just lying in bed trying to think about it and I just started sobbing. And like the sobbing just, it probably went on for a good 45 minutes. I'm like, I don't know where all this is coming from, but you know, I'd heard about like people going through this type of catharsis where they start sobbing uncontrollably. It won't stop. And so, you know, like I can't remember if I was like timing it or I'm like, holy crap, it's 23 minutes in, like the sobbing is still going, you know, there's probably part of me laughing while also sobbing. And then once I had processed through that, you know, and then I talked it through with my therapist and there was more sobbing. I came out feeling really light and I could now see the, you know, the wounded child. I'm like, there you are. Okay. You've always been here and you've been wearing this armor, a really heavy armor suit. And I have been flogging you for years saying you must achieve or we are not safe. And I could now say, okay, you can take that off now.
I am grateful to share that story. And I feel fortunate that I get to wave from the other side and say, look, guys, like there's something else over here. And there can be great love and great joy and great friendship. And, you know, the connections that I've made because of the vulnerability I've now been able to display with my girlfriends who were always there for me, but who I was cutting off pretending. That relationship. Yeah, because I didn't want to admit it. And how many girlfriends were like, yeah, I never really got you guys.
Yeah.
They were like, but I trusted you. I trusted that you, if you were there, you were happy, but I never got it. And now I look back, I'm like, I don't get it either.
Well, you know, it's funny because a couple months before, I was actually in Necker Island and I went on a women's trip with a bunch of strangers. I had the most amazing time. And it was really that I allowed myself this, that this was the first time I left my family, that I was gone for 7 days on an island in the British Virgin Islands. Like who gets to do that? And I allowed myself to do it because I had worked hard enough to get to that point that I could pay for that experience and I could have it. And then this happened and I thought, you know, I need more of that. Mm. And I think that it was that, you don't have to work that hard to have such an experience. You know, slow it down and relish what you have every day. You know, I have palm trees outside because I live in San Jose. I don't need to go to the British Virgin Islands to see the palm trees, but to really look at it. And like you mentioned earlier of, you know, you see color different now and, you know, you reflect and you see more beauty and it's right in front of us. We don't have to escape to go see it.
Yeah.
So I think thinking about that is definitely something that comes to mind of, I was already on that path, but I was doing it the wrong way, I think.
I don't know. I think just giving her a hug and saying that, like, if I would have known that upwards of 90% of parents do not believe their children whenever they tell them about abuse, I wish I would have told, someone would have told me that back then, because I felt like I was the only one that had a mom that didn't believe me, you know? So I think armed with that knowledge, I would have shared that with myself.
I think I'd say, and I have done some of this going back to that self then, but in this moment, I'd say it has something, it would be something to do with, you've been preparing your whole life for something that's going to come now, and it's going to take you somewhere darker and harder and than you've ever been before. And you do know how to be in the dark. You're going to be okay. And let the breaking open be the breaking through. You're ready. You're equipped. And there's something about just trust that as you keep moving, the path will rise up under you. Have that. Mm-hmm. Just have faith. Have just 2% more faith than you think you have and that you even could possibly have in that moment. Just 2% more faith to take that hard next step into the what is going to come, and it's going to be very, very dark, a big dark void.
I think it's like, it's okay to be who you are. Like, there's no shame. Yeah. There's no shame in existing exactly how you are.
It's hard to sum it up. Just live in joy and just know everything will always work out no matter what.
I'd like to think that past Christy would be receptive to future Christy's insights. And I think it could be as simple as saying, choose your life. I was very much a rule follower. And I think once I got a little bit of freedom in college would probably be the time where I would be most receptive to the idea that I had choices in my life and I could take actions and make my own decisions about what I was doing.
Mm. I love that you asked this question. It's like one of my favorite parts of your podcast. I think that the thing that comes up whenever I think about myself in those moments is just like, oh, honey, like, you're okay. Everything that you're feeling is okay and it's normal and none of it is going to take you out. And if you can just see this as a wave, let the wave hit you, you will get up again and you will keep moving on. And the waves are coming from everywhere. And so sometimes they're going to come from behind you and knock you over. And that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Mm. Your job here is to figure out how to keep standing up.
No, there's nothing I could say, but I know that I would have basically extended affection, just a hug, a pat on the back, just any sort of human contact, because that moment to feel such a physical disconnect from your mother, the person who carried me into the planet, physicality in that way, and the healing power of touch is certainly not something that's been lost on me over the years. I know I wouldn't have at the time, there's nothing I could have said to myself at the time because I was deaf, but just a moment of safe man-to-man affection would have gone a long way.
No. And I say that because I believe that everywhere we are in our journey is exactly where we're supposed to be. I don't believe when people say like, oh, I got off my path or I took a wrong turn. I just don't believe that to be true. I believe that everything that happens to us was meant to happen to us for a reason, to learn a lesson that we needed to learn or to point us in a direction that we need to go. I don't necessarily believe that like we're destined and this is where fate is gonna push you, but I do believe that the choices that we make inform the next choice that we will make and the decisions that will lead us to where we will find joy and love and happiness. So I don't think I would have wanted to intervene with that at all, because yeah. I don't think I'd actually be where I am meant to be today without that journey.
Sometimes I have guests go back to that person, but it seems like you've kind of, your family, your parents have created this version of you since you were very little, and you've just been able to move forward with it. So it's like not, you couldn't even give your younger self good advice because you're still doing it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the name of my firm, Mitlin, is a combination of my wife's grandfather, Mitchell, MIT was to him. LIN is relevant to my mom, Linda. And we named the firm after them because my wife's grandfather was a New York City police officer, a veteran, just a really good guy. He was the type of guy that when the ice cream man came down the block, not because he was wealthy, but he got a lot of joy, would buy everybody ice cream. Mm. My mom was tough as nails, human being, a warrior, just a real all around great person. I mean, to this day, people reach out to me on her birthday, my birthday, mm-hmm. reminding me on Mother's Day, reminding me of how great a human she was. So when we wanted to, you know, create this firm, we were like, you know what? Why don't we use something that's meaningful?
Yeah.
And use something whose values really exemplify what we and who we want to be as a firm. So that's why we use their name. So I'm lucky because every day I come into my office, I come into my firm, I see the name there, I see the name in my email, and it reminds me and reinforces every day what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and why I do what I do from a family perspective. And one of our core values here is client equals family equals team. Hmm. We're all one family. If, you know, we want our clients, we call them families we serve. We want the people that work here, our stakeholders, and we want everybody feeling like we're one big team, one big family. And, you know, I'm reminded of it every day. So it's a blessing for me, and I'm very grateful for that.
It probably wouldn't have helped then because the emotional pain was so great, but you really do get over to the other side. And yes, you miss that person, my son, your mother, so desperately, but the pain is not anything like it was before. Mm. That was almost unbearable. And you do get through that. And I guess it does make you stronger. In a sense, you know, I don't know. I just don't wish this on anyone at all.
I would say just hang in there. You're going to get it. You can't really force somebody who's not ready to yeah. go on that journey, because then it won't work. And then they'll get discouraged and they won't, you know, it sometimes keeps them from trying again. So I would just tell her, hang in there. You got this. Find a way to love yourself as you are. The rest is going to come. And yeah. I think that just loving myself is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And being able to say that is something I wish I could have done a long time ago. And it would have made the journey easier, because then it would have meant that I wouldn't have let all of that external stuff in. And all of the comments and all of the media, I could have ignored that. Because a lot of times I think people go too far in the body positivity, thinking that if you're okay with who you are, if you love who you are, you don't want to change. And that's not how it is. If you love who you are, you're going to want the best for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that means when you're ready, you're going to want to get healthy, and whatever healthy looks like for you. And so I think just being able to say, I love myself and believe it, that's the best advice I could have given myself when I was younger. Because it mm-hmm. would have, I think it would have gotten me through to the point to where I was ready to
yeah.
to go on that journey.
That's really sweet. You know, I don't know if what I would say to him would totally be about everything I went through. I guess I would say two things. The first thing I would definitely say is something you learn when you're little anyway, but you don't fully accept, and maybe hearing it from my older self would help me, is just be yourself unapologetically. Don't, you know, I used to not own the title of being in theater or being interested in things because I was nervous about being bullied. I would make fun of myself first and make people laugh before someone could make fun of me. I was always trying to make everybody my friend.
Right.
And I think just telling myself it's okay to just be who you are, you don't need to put on anything extra, would be helpful. And then the second thing in regards to my journey might be something my nanny always tells me, which is also really simple, but very comforting to me for some reason. It's just everything is all right in the end. If it's not all right, it isn't the end. I mean, you might feel that even with your grief journey, closing the door, it's like, things are all right. I'm still here. And I guess that depends on your definition of all right. But yeah, just for some reason, that would be something I would say. Always choosing love. I talk about this in my podcast all the time. The two emotions at the end of the day, there's only love and fear. And I always try to choose love. And if I'm not in that, I'm like, why am I scared? And then I just ask myself a lot of questions. But that's, I would give myself a lot of post-its. I would stick post-its of inspirational quotes onto my little body and walk away. If you're a little person that's scared and you see your older self come back and they're okay, that's, you don't really need anything else. They appeared, they're there, they made it through. That's all you need to know.
Oh, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Because you probably felt at that moment that everything...
Nothing could be okay ever again.
Yeah. I mean, it really kind of comes down to one question to me. And I don't know if I would have been smart enough to answer it at the time. What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
You would have been smart enough to answer it, but I think your answer would have been related to what you have been told.
I want to go on a mission. No. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do that?
Yeah.
You want to help others? Help others.
I would tell her not to look at the big picture. It's just too overwhelming. You can't look at the big picture. Focus on today. Focus on what you are responsible for and in control of, what you can change. Can't worry about everyone else. And you can't worry about who was right, who was wrong. I think a lot of people going through divorce get trapped in that cycle of who's right, who's wrong. Nobody's right or wrong. It's divorce. Mm-hmm. It's awful. It's terrible. And if you try to win or think that you're the better person, that's just only going to hold you back from healing. And learning to just accept that, I wish I could have accepted that much earlier on, because it would have made my life so much easier.
I think I would go to around the sixth grade, seventh grade age of her, because that's when, like I said, the speech really started to be noticeable. And, you know, some people would make fun of it, sort of mimic. Actually, it was the, if you remember the Charlie Brown cartoons, the teacher, whenever the teacher would talk, it would be blah, 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 blah. That's what, you know, one boy in particular really liked to do whenever he heard me speaking. And, you know, you just want the ground to open up and swallow you. So I think it would be, for her, just keep going. Just keep going. It's going to work out in ways you could never have imagined. Just keep going.
I would tell myself, the Jackie in Hawaii, that life isn't this like perfect package or like linear, you know, timeline. You hit this. It's messy, but that's like part of it, right? And when you go through some really challenging times and then you get to like the other side, it is so sweet, and it's going to get there. Yeah. It might take some time, but it's going to get there. So I would say that.
I would tell younger me to just say yes, you know, get on the bus, just say, yeah, I'm going to do it, and get on the bus. Say, yeah, I'm going to talk to this person. It's those moments which I wasn't consciously thinking of, where I was like, yeah, I'll just send this email. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just book a flight. I'll just go get a coffee. That's when, you know, I found the career I loved. That's when I went on, you know, a life-changing experience. That's when I met my wife. You know, it's all of these moments that it's when you don't think and you don't over-process that life tends to take you in the craziest and most amazing direction.
What I've found is I've got a baby Ryan within me that I do a great job of keeping covered, keeping protective. And part of therapy is connecting with that kind of baby Ryan, if you will, or younger version of me. But one of the things that I actually try to do, and I'm fairly conscientious about this, is I try to hang out with the 5-year-old version of myself and the 10-year-old version of myself. Like, I live in Southern California. I love going to the beach. I actually try to go to the beach by myself every once in a while because I'm bringing 5-year-old me and 10-year-old me. And we're hanging out. I'm spending time with them in a way my dad didn't spend time with me.
Yeah. I didn't even have to think about it. Three simple words. I would just say, I love you. Right. Literally goosebumps. I would just say, I love you. That's something I've done quite often in regards to like inner child meditations and whatnot. And while those are specifically geared toward me at a much, much, much younger age, I think I just needed to hear that and feel that even in my 20s, I would literally just say, I love you.
I'd be like, girl, just buy some hair, stick it on your head and rock it. And you're going to be awesome no matter how you look, no matter if you have one strand of hair on your head or a big thick head of hair, it doesn't matter.
I would definitely tell her that everything is going to work out, but I would give her the heads up about something that I learned many years ago, which is we tend to get attached to the worst version of ourselves because it's comfortable. And we do have a best version of ourselves that is available for us if we do the work. So I would say that to her. You're going to be okay, but don't get attached to this bad version of yourself. We are all capable to do wonderful things, and we are all capable to do nasty things. And it's our choice to decide which route we're going to take. I could have been a total different person. I could have poisoned my kids against their dad. I could have allowed my anger and my frustration to spill everywhere, you know, and I would be a very different person right now. And I make the conscientious choice to be a better person. I used to say, I'm working on my wings. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on my wings. And if somebody else betrays me, that's on them. Because I know in my heart that I did my best to be the best version of myself. And if it wasn't appreciated, it's their loss. It's not my loss. I'm already in a different level. I'm already in a different vibration. And that's where I want to be.
Starting a business or figuring out your career or just life in general. I heard a really good analogy one time that it's like driving a car at night. When you're driving a car at night, you can only see as far as the headlights will show you, but you can travel hundreds or thousands of miles that way and have no idea of the roadblocks and the construction and the detours and the accident and all that's going to happen up ahead. You don't want to know any of that stuff. Like, again, I love my life, but I don't have some 5-year or 10-year plan of I know exactly how it's going to, because I'm driving a car at night and I have a pretty good idea of like what this week and the next couple of weeks are going to hold and have some rough idea of what I hope the next few, but like you think about things like a pandemic. Like nobody's sitting around going like, all right, 2020, buckle up because here it comes. Like nobody knows that.
You are capable of so much more than you give yourself credit for.
That's a good question. I think this version of me would want to be able to hold his hand and tell him that it's going to be okay. As a 7-year-old, I was bouncing off the walls. I wasn't able to... I couldn't connect the way I could connect now. And I wish that I would have been able to like put my arm around him, you know, be there. And I was there in my own way. Right. I don't think my brother felt that I wasn't there. Right. But I think, and that's something that I struggle with is thinking back to like, did I tell him I loved him? Did he know I loved him? Did he know how important he was to me? Did he just think I was the annoying brother up until all this happened? You know, like I would have just wanted to be able to sit there and like everyone else, put a hand on him and be like, okay, all right. I think that's the version of me now would go back and do that.
I would tell that version of me, everything's going to be okay. But I wouldn't give that person any advice whatsoever because I don't want that to affect his decisions and all the things that led me here. You know, I have no regrets because every single decision, you know, shaped who I am today, and I love who I am today. So I would give zero advice and just say, don't worry, everything's going to be okay.
If 45-year-old Matt gets into the teleporter and goes back and talks to 28-year-old Matt, and I would say the same thing that I'm sharing right now, is that you can do it. Keep working on yourself. Keep working on your own game, because there is hope and you can do it. I would give the same piece of advice I give to everyone now, is that there is a way when we're curious. Just keep searching. You know, and that would be it. That would be what I would share now. I don't think that I could go back and give a piece of advice that would probably change Matt at that place, because I think I had to go through all the stuff I've been through to get to here. But if I could go back and share that thought, I'd say just keep up doing what you're doing and keep learning, keep growing.
It's been really incredible to do. And I really can't imagine what things would have looked like if I hadn't said yes to that, even though it did scare me. Mm-hmm. And now seeing how much that it has really paid off. I'm definitely a very risk averse kind of person. I'm like, you know, oh, you want me to do what? Yeah, mm-hmm. No. But I think if you have enough psychological safety and you have people around you that, you know, you can talk to about, you know, when things suck or whatever. In this case, you know, Wayne believed I could do it, so I did it.
I would say just go. I mean, don't even think about it, you know. And I think I would say, as far as like advice for her, is, you know, look deeper into your opportunities when you get there. You know, I might tell her that there's going to be a few more steps, but you're going to be in a place that you cannot even fathom right now. There's more than hope on the other side of this. There's more, much more than just hope on the other side. She just needed a big hug and to know she wasn't alone.
That's a good question. And I knew you were going to ask that question because I've listened to your podcast. I think that it would be, I know everything feels really scary right now and you don't know what's going on, but you have people who love you and who are going to look out for you, and you are going to be okay one day. You will one day see your dad again. And even if you can't see him, he sees you and sees everything that you are going to become. And life is not going to be easy, but life isn't going to always be this hard.
The world has changed from when I was a 19-year-old kid. Everything is at your fingertips now. If the things that make you happy, there's no reason you can't do that at night when you get home. There's no reason. You don't have to change your full-time job to express your creativity. I often tell people to give back Tuesday nights. So if you have a goal you're trying to achieve, give back Tuesday nights. Yeah. And you say, I'm going to dedicate a minimum of 1 hour a week to me. Tuesday nights, I'm going to give myself from 8 to 9 o'clock and I'm going to learn a new skill, or I'm going to paint, or I'm going to mix music, or I'm going to write, or I'm going to go for a run, whatever it is, things that are going to help you get to whatever that goal is.
I've been thinking about this question a lot. I think I would say to her, because I'm looking at a lot of teachers now and wondering what advice I would give them. Is I would seek a coach. I would seek somebody who can see where you are, ask you what you want, and give you some guidance on how you might get there.
Like I said, I start when I was 8 or 9, and it even goes before that, because it probably starts at the first time I saw my parents fight, you know, and I don't mean fight as in like, oh, I hate you and I hate you. I mean like punching, scratching, hitting, but it's like each of those little grains of sand stack and stack and stack until it makes a mountain, and it's learning to deal with it in that moment. And so it really does go back all the way to that point. And it's like fixing with a Band-Aid or a duct tape or something else. You're masking the issue until a point that you can't put enough duct tape in the world on it to fix it. And now it kind of explodes and you have to deal with it. And instead of letting it get to that point, it's figuring out that everyone is suffering and everyone's suffering in a different way. And you need to find a healthy outlet for that. You can talk to somebody, there's resources, but I didn't know So I didn't have any of that stuff available. And it's like, if we had those resources at the time, I think we could have fixed the problem at a young age and learned the positive way to handle those circumstances and not have to come out in the end as a 30-year-old who's going through, you know, one of the worst moments of their life.
Is what if you went back to that 17-year-old version of you that was like, I want to go do an English 3-week thing. And you told her, hey, you and your husband in 2022 are about to travel the world living your dream life. How do you think that conversation would go?
I think she would be pretty excited because she already wanted to travel the world at that time. New York was definitely like the first part. I think she would be excited. And you know what? I think part of her would not be surprised actually about the American husband, because I always felt when I was growing up that I was almost an outsider of my own country, which is kind of weird to say that, because I always, so like I said, like it's great to see both worlds, but I always felt very close to American mentality for a lot of things, which is the fact that you guys are always very positive and you guys love to celebrate. You know, there's this strong feeling of, you know, celebrating, having fun. The problem was that the other part of mentality of the US is that there is this corporate and kind of like you have to be inside the box. But the one thing that even if you're inside that box and like even if you're like, you know, in this world that we're kind of forcing you to be in there, you guys still try to like see the, you know, the best part. If we were telling me this, I would be like, cool, because you guys are pretty cool people. I mean, there's probably things we don't agree on, but you know, otherwise, it's, if I had to choose another country that, you know, I'll become a citizen one day of the US, it's like, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like to choose this one.
I'm pretty happy with how this has all turned out. Good for you for experimenting. I mean, the amount of confidence I took from still building what we built, like, I am grateful for that. To me, it's like, throw yourself in these situations. You're not going to find round peg, round hole. It's never going to be perfect. You just kind of have to like make the most of the situation. But like, you can't do that from the sideline. You got to do it from like jumping in the water and seeing where it takes you. And so I would maybe high five myself and say, dude, wow, that was good for you. That was not a perfect dealt hand and whatever is. And like, you still managed to like make some pretty cool things and hire some pretty amazing people.
I think what I think about in that season of life is, as much as I love my parents and they were wonderful parents, what they were not is they were not like a mentor. They were parents. So I guess what I'd say to that younger self is try to find a mentor. All of humanity can benefit from is having someone who can mentor you, which it could be a parent, but it sometimes it's not. Like in my case, it wasn't.
What's coming to mind for me is just like embrace this opportunity, right? This is what you asked for, and embrace this opportunity and have fun with it. See how it goes.
I would say things are going to happen that are going to be really hard, but never, ever, ever forget who you are. And you're going to get through it and you're going to grow from it. And it's just going to shape and change you. So anytime something goes the way that you don't want it to, just know that it is a better thing for you down the road. And it's just going to shape you into the person that you're going to become. So just keep doing you. You're going to be just fine.
I think I would have said to her, something great will come of it. It's not the end of the world. Just be diligent about your care, do your homework. And that's kind of what I did. I mean, I was diligent about doing research, because a lot of what they were telling you, it's now I get it. Like if you ever watch a television show where someone goes through cancer, and it actually, every show I've seen was accurate. Like they use terms that I remembered. So yeah, doing your homework and obviously ask for help if you need it. And you have, you know your support base. Luckily I was able to do all that.
Off the cuff, straight up honest with you, I would tell past Christina, cut your hair, do whatever you want to do to your body. It does not matter, because it is your body
It does not impact anyone else, and you will still be the person you want to be, including, well, you'll still be the person you want to be. Let's just say that. I think what I would also say to some degree is, not to be cliche, so I wouldn't want to use these exact words, but it gets better. It's mm-hmm. okay to be authentically you, no matter what. Just do it.
First and foremost, and if this is all you can do, do it. Radically accept where you are, who you are, what you're feeling. Embrace that acceptance. If it's terrible and awful, it's terrible and awful. Accept that. If you're sad, accept that you're sad. If you're pissed off, accept that. I am pissed. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this is happening. And accept that. Accept your feelings. Accept who you are. Accept where you are in that situation. And that's okay. Those feelings are they're normal and they're fine. I think I get caught up in trying to push those aside, and it's all it is delaying the inevitable.
I think so often in relationships, whether they're friends or like intimate relationships, marriages, whatever, that we put so many other people ahead of us, right? And we constantly are like, I have to give this person and give and give and give. And then you give so much that you get to a point where there's nothing left of you to give. You're only giving that person, right? Mm-hmm. And even in those situations, like in this, where it wasn't ideal, we were really going down the road of getting divorced, and I was still giving everything I had to it in order to save it.
Right.
If I went back in time, I would have walked away so much earlier on, because my needs were no longer being met.
I mean, I think my biggest piece of advice, it would be to really try to do things that get outside yourself, right? And this might sound cliche, but like, go and do something that like helps someone else, right? Or like, yeah, exactly. Or like makes you super uncomfortable, right? And that could be as easy as like volunteering somewhere of something that makes you uncomfortable, but like push yourself into areas that make you feel uncomfortable. I was super uncomfortable talking about emotional things. Like I literally just would not. And everything was sort of like the show and the presentational piece of it. Right. So, you know, pushing yourself to go to therapy or go, you know, someplace that makes you uncomfortable to help someone else. Or if you have a bad relationship with your family or your whoever it is in your family, go be there to help them. And like really like pushing yourself, that helped me so much.
Well, I think it was really important to go through it. One of the things that I struggled with back then was needing to know the outcome, needing to know what would happen, because it was part of that control issue that I had. And so back then, I think that it would have been helpful for me to have been told, yes, this is going to work, right? Everybody wants to know what the answer is instead of having to go find it and do the work, right? We all want the shortcuts. And so I think back then I would have wanted the answer and said, why couldn't somebody have told me this earlier? This is definitely going to work. But being the older, wiser, different person that I am today, I would say it's better that I didn't have that, even though I would have wanted it, because it was a learning process for me, right? It was a process for me learning to listen to my intuition, to learn to trust the things that my body and my mind were telling me to explore and research the things that were potentially coming up and say, is this intuition? Is this what this looks like? Is this what this feels like? Can I trust it? And going down this path, I think, was an integral process for me in learning how to trust that my body knew how to heal itself.
I think they might not realize how amazing they are and how strong they are and how important they are in their community and in their family and in their friend circle, but they are so pivotal and they deserve to have support.
The mess is your message. The mess is your mess is your message. What you've gone through in your life is exactly what you're supposed to speak on and help others and be in service to others with. It's that is just like love is law, right? Your mess is your message. If you're willing, right, to share the message, if you're willing to serve with the message, if you're willing to give the message. But it's why you're here. It's your purpose. It's your purpose in life. It is.
Well, and you have to find the silver lining. Otherwise, you're stuck in that negative window of like, why me? Why me? Why me? And that's not going to do any good for you or anyone else. I remember somebody saying to me, like, when something bad happens, like, sit with it for whatever amount of time. If you need to sit with it for an hour, if you need to sit with it for a day, like, tell yourself, I'm sitting in this. I'm going to sit in this grief. I'm going to sit in this why me, this horrible, like, and get all of that out and then find the positive in it and move forward. Because if you sit in that grief is the best way to put it. If you sit in that and never leave it, you're never going to move past it. You're never going to like grow. You're never going to move forward. Like you're always going to be sitting in this pocket, you know, and that's where you're stuck.
You're not going to live your life.
Yeah. 1000%.
We all do the best that we can at the time, and we live and we learn and we go on. That's with any circumstance, but there's no, people are so different and process the same input in different ways. And that's okay. You know, in reflecting on all of this story today, there's parts of it that even I cringe at if I were a third party observer, I would have certain thoughts about how I reacted or what happened next, but I wasn't, I am not ashamed or would change anything even, because we just do the best we can at the time. And there's always a way it could have gone worse.
I do try to focus on, as we said, all the positive things, all the good things. Life is so beautiful. Love is so beautiful. And if we allow ourselves to shut down and remain in this, you know, at this like plateau, it doesn't do anyone good. It surely won't do myself any good. So I still find that I sometimes am taking it one day at a time. I think I'm doing well. And then when I look back on something that seems very recent, I'm like, oh, wow, I think I was still in a fog then. Like, it's very interesting how you perceive yourself in the moment and how you can perceive yourself when you look back on it.
If you've got something that is as clear to me as it was that music was a part of me, there's no point in ignoring it. You're just going to keep going back to it. So lean into it, you know, turn it into, and the way things are now, everything is so like niche specific and everything, that just find your people and yeah, lean. I feel like it's better to lean harder into that than to try to fit yourself into these other structures that exist out there that don't have anything to do with you. So
I think that after my mom died, I was living my life for other people and for what their expectations were and for whatever society thought that, you know, you should do next and what, you know, whatever that's, you know, being good in high school to go to college and then go to get a graduate degree and then get a good job and then get promotions and all that stuff, right? That society's telling you to do. And I think when my grandmother died, when she took that last breath, it was like, I'm going to do whatever I want at this point, right? Because at the end of the day, this is how it could end. And I want to be laying here with people by my side that matter and can be there for me and we can be there for each other. And so, yeah, I think I went, you know, that first part of my life, I was living for other people, and now I'm living more authentically for myself, which, you know, if we can learn from terrible situations and find the value in them, I'm thankful for these moments, as tough as that is to say, because they've created who I am at this point. And, you know, and it's allowed me to be open enough to have these conversations on this podcast, right? To be inquisitive enough to know that we all have these stories and they're so different, but yet the human experience is very similar. We're finding a lot of commonalities between what we're saying. I'm thankful for it.
Looking back on it, like, oh, it sucks. Looking back on that, I'm like, I just wasted so much time. But you know, those, you know, you have to, when I look back, it's like, you look at that kind of societal pressure and stuff as a learning lesson to make you a stronger person.
It was a lot of the mental work. I've done a lot of like shadow work and working on who I am and those things. And that has all contributed to it. But I really think taking that massive risk and betting on myself. And that's the thing. When you bet on yourself, you know, that's great because it's house money. And that's what it is. You're like, I bet on myself to move across the country and make it happen. And I did it because there was no other option. And if it didn't work, then it didn't. And I moved back. But it's all about that first day instead of being like, well, what if it doesn't work out?
Driving back to New York, that primal scream drive back to New York in the middle of the night, those outbursts shook something loose. I wouldn't wish that experience or that, you know, that moment on anybody, but because it came from a place like years and years of routine and just kind of these knots of saying yes to things that you didn't believe in. I was just saying yes. I was on autopilot and just finding my way through it and having a great time doing it. So I don't regret any of it, except that you're right. Like everything that happened was a necessary step towards making this big push that I guess on paper doesn't sound that dramatic, but the nuance between, you know, living your life and living the life that looks like, you know, to everybody else, they're like, what are you, crazy? Like, you're actually like doing it. Like you moved to New York and you're like working all the time. And I was like, yeah, it looks great. I am so unhappy.
I would tell that 2018 version of myself to trust exactly where you are in that moment of time. Trust the discomfort. Trust the not knowing. Trust the fear. And trust that what's on the other side is beautiful.
Yeah, maybe it cracked wide open in like a good way. Now I can create like a mosaic table out of it or something, you know? Like I think all of the beauty is still there. I just think it's, you know, and it's ever evolving. It might be a mosaic table for a while and then need to be repurposed at some other point, right? Because it's like that's how it's going to happen. But I do think that, you know, you get to a point and I think that, not to get too like, you know, woo woo about it, but you know, it's like I have this like little creature that I like did not expect to have in my life. I mean, I told that story and it's like I feel like every day I'm like, oh, you know, like there are ways. I mean, even like professionally, I have some things unfolding that like I never would have predicted or even planned for in a million years. But it's like being open and being ready and, you know, and also saying like, I don't just have to do that because it's there, right? Like I really want to make sure it's the right thing, at least for now. It might not be the right thing forever. And so I feel like that's where the vase is at. It's like, yeah, maybe it's like broken into shards and like, that's okay. That's where it's at right now. But it doesn't mean it can't still be something.
The universe definitely was shining down on me in those moments. Here is your lifeline. Here is your, you know, little buoy that I'm going to toss to you. It's your job to recognize the opportunity and take it, kind of thing. Definitely.
The whole thing just started out very self-consumed. And I find now every time we make decisions, we think about how can that better serve our family? How can that better serve our community? How can that better serve? How can that better progress God's will for our lives? Like, are we stepping into that, right? Are we really? And so now it's like a full circle. We've gone from just being very self-led to very like service-led. And every decision we make now is in some capacity, how can we serve other people with this? How can we serve our family better? How can we serve the folks that want to support us better? And it's humbling and I'm emotional all the time. The fact that I got through this whole interview without crying, I did choke up a little bit there, but you know, it's just like, I am very vulnerable and that's okay now. It was never okay before. It was always just like, oh, I got to protect everything, you know, my feelings, my emotions, all this. And then of course our children bring that out of us.
Obviously it wasn't just me. Like, you know, you have to have a good support system. You have to really have people who believe in you. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do any of it.
You wait till the end of this thing to make me cry. Oh my gosh. Oh. One second. Okay. I think I can answer this. I think I would say that it's not always going to be like this. You know, it's survivable. And also get therapy when you get older, because like you can't, for years, I tried to just tough it out, but you can't, it's eventually going to catch up to you. And you have to, it's fine to talk to your friends and family, but you have to talk to a professional and someone who's not connected to you personally to be able to give you objective insight into your own shit that's happening as a result of that trauma. I mean, you can't see that on your own. I mean, now sometimes I'm able to see it on my own because I have been to therapy so many times for these things. But I would say to 6-year-old Diane, like, it's not always going to be like this. Also, get closer to your sister. I would tell her that. And get therapy, because it's only going to at least improve your outlook on how you move about the world and other people, because how you relate to other people, because it's relating to other people is a struggle because of the people that were supposed to have loved me that didn't, right?
In that moment, I would say to him, keep doing what you're doing. You'll be ready when you're ready. Yeah. It's also in the spirit of, I really believe, especially when it comes to addicts and alcoholics, that it's detrimental to break their fall. We are a very stubborn people. And the more safety nets you throw us, the more we take advantage of it. It's just absolutely the most obvious. We all know this. There's no arguing this. Go to Al-Anon and you'll hear, you know, centuries of people who will admit that that's true. So yeah, for me to go back to him and say, stop, is absolutely illogical. I would say, here's more. Like, get to that bottom. Get to that bottom. If you have to, let's find it quicker.
Be patient with yourself in the process. Yeah, just be patient.
You don't have to take life so seriously. Being a perfectionist has been definitely at the top of my list sometimes, and don't overthink too much. I think I would say to myself, because life is too short, you know, enjoy the moments, enjoy the little moments.
I think just that it's, oh man, the adventures that await you are like so incredible. And like the struggle that is today is not worth crying over, not worth throwing the towel in over, you know? It's, there are a lot of days where I was like, oh my God, this is like not worth it. I don't want to do this anymore. And like, if I would have known then, like all of these beautiful things that I would find here, I don't want to say that I would have done it sooner, because I think I needed that time also. But I think maybe I guess just take life a day at a time, and it's, you're going to get where you need to be. And where you are right now is where you need to be.
I would say start healing sooner. I missed out on a lot of life. And while I would never want anyone to go through the things that I went through from my childhood to my adult life, I am grateful for the experiences because I am who I am because of them. But if I would have started healing sooner, I could enjoy a lot more of my life. I'm 7 years old today in my eyes, and you know, I'm a 34-year-old adult that relates to 7-year-old in terms of my emotions. And I could be a lot further ahead if I would just be vulnerable to the healing journey sooner.
Wow. Wow. I would say thank you for believing in me. Thank you for creating an opportunity to be a larger version of myself. And thank you for being who you are.
Oh, I would say, girl, you are about to go through the hardest life change that you've ever experienced, but it is going to make you stronger. It'll help you understand who you are as a person on your own. And it will make you realize that you are far more resilient than you ever expected. And to be honest with you, the life I have now is so much more exciting and rewarding than it was before. Like breaking free of that bubble my entire worldview has changed. I look at life totally different. I realize the importance of relationships with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about one person at this point. Like, I see how important it is to have friendships and have like just a diverse group of people around me. And I'm so grateful for where I am right now and that I went through that change.
I would just tell myself to hang in there and just face, like, don't tuck it away, face it. You know, like, the best form of growth comes when you face those challenges, because what comes on out from the other side is way better than what is right here. But you have to go through that to get to that side, because you're going to learn. And whether it's something you want to learn or it's something that life just throws at you that you have to learn in the moment, you know, I'm very pessimistic as it is. So like, if you can change your thoughts and you try to make it like as optimistic as possible, I think that's a big help too. It's just rewiring the way you think about it, you know, just hang in there.
I love that. You know, make sure you have you taken care of and squared away, because without you, you're not going to be able to help other people, if that makes sense. So
I think I would just look back and tell her, like, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. Like, it's normal to feel this way, but like, it will be okay. She's perfect.
What would I say to myself? Good for you. Good for you always going after what you want. Good for you not doing it the traditional way. Good for you for taking the risk that might result in someone saying no to you, but at least trying. Good to you for doing it differently. Good for you for being authentic. And good for you for just being who you are and doing what you want. And good for you for being practical. Because had he said no, who cares? Never going to see him again. So why not?
Well, one, I would allow him to go through all of the stuff that I did now, because I love where I am right now. It's the best life ever. So it's the whole butterfly effect. That being said, if I were to go back and give advice to that person, I think some things that I would say is, number one, hire coaches sooner, because they accelerate the speed of growth. It completely changed my life, because I can get to where I want to go faster by the people who have already done it. And I want to be around other people who are about this life. So you're consistently leveling up. And this isn't about the money. This is about the commitment to myself. I am someone who is willing to invest in myself. So really the high level answer to this is invest in myself sooner.
For more information, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com.